Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the talkcast every Thursday. I start at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow directions to call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshow.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or you can search for Starfleet Universe On Call, either way, and you'll find us on that website. Also, I co-broadcast over on twitch.tv. The channel there is twitch.tv/SFU On Call. And you'll find us right at that URL, you know, twitch.tv/SFU On Call. And you can join us there because I do a co-broadcast, and you can participate with the rest of the chat room who's over there, because most of them have migrated. Anyone who was on Talks, you mainly migrated over to Twitch. So I keep an eye on Twitch channel and do my best to respond to anything that I see there. So if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that too. It's also sfuoncall. And if you want to just follow my personal account, not the what's happening on the podcast, then you go to Paul Franz. That's the other Twitter account that I have. PaulFranz. Yet there's no T in that last name. And there's also Franz Games, which is, of course, Franz Games. FranzGMS. And so you'll see what's happening with SF for not SFU On Call. You won't see anything about SFU On Call on there. You'll only see things about SFB Online, the latest clients, any announcement for tournaments, and also, of course, Starfleet Warlord, any things that happening are there. I'm trying to be a little more frequent on those posts. And, of course, this Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB, that is that Jean's mother is dying at the moment. Jean is now on her way back to North Carolina to be with her mother. As you know, just I ask you to pray for a peaceful transition for Jean's mother, and also pray and have in your thoughts Jean and the rest of her family. So, and of course, Jean's safe travels to get there. And I'm hoping it's kind of like my father, where my father held on until my sister got there. And that's when he finally let go of this life into the eternal life. So, moving onward, the Sapphire Star Tournament, one of these days I'll get that right, Sapphire Star 9, number 9, tournament, round 2 is completed with a very whimper, then a bang, that Andrew conceded to me just because he was been slacking, and you know, he missed our game date, and my opponent, Crash and Burn, for round 3, which is also the same ship, which is the Wynn Auxiliary Battlecruiser. He really wanted me to play that game. Big surprise. So he gave an idea of how I played and how I defended against that same ship. Well, sorry. But that's one thing I will be talking about tonight, is that game. But anyhow, that's the last third round game. And that's actually a semi-final game, so that if I complete this game, I get to play against, I'm not sure who I would play against, if you could hold on for one moment, I know there's a news portion, so I should have this all ready and rocking to go, and I apologize for not having this set up sooner. So I will just do a quick check here. Yeah, so I would be facing Captain Ron in the Wibbis, the Wynn Black Shark is what I'll be facing in the finals if I beat Crash and Burn. Actually, it's been a very close game. That's all I'm going to say for this moment in time. When it comes to the libraries, no progress there. We've had some updates for some of the ships that were incorrect and needed to be resolved. And thank you, Frank, and other people Matt did most of them. Frank did a few to do corrections for the ships, and those corrections are up on the library. FedCom, I still haven't completed those. It's been many, many months, and I apologize for not getting back to those. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one and all Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and the chat room. And I know Dave's around, and I'm sure Iggy's probably hanging around, and possibly even Chris. So say hello, guys. Hello, guys. Tonight, what I was going to do is, hopefully this will last for the evening. If it's not, I'm sure I'll come up with another topic to fill out the rest of the evening, which is I was going to go do a quick overview of the four turns of my round three game. Just a quick note why I didn't have a round. I got to round three really terribly quickly. That's because my round two game never got played. And Andrew withdrew from the tournament just because of he said basically he was a slacker. And, he basically shouldn't win because he always lacks in getting the games done. And the important thing there was that Steve accepted it. As long as Steve accepted it, that's fine. I thought I wasn't running late, but looks like, according to Steve, I was running late. But I'm not quite sure I was running late. because you're given 3 weeks to do the first game, and I think it's just that I'm the last of those people because I took all 3 weeks. So I feel pretty confident in saying that the issue was not Andrew, though. Andrew, he missed, and we might be able to get all done. Given how slowly my first game against WinOxbox, well, this type of WinOxbox, is going, I'm going to have to say that, overall, if Andrew would have applied the same style, it would have gone pretty slow. Though, I'm looking back at my game. I was doing some quick screenshots because, obviously, since the game's not completed, which it hasn't, only got up to running to turn four, I do not want to show things like, my EA for my past turns, just in case Crash and Burn decide to watch this video, which is, of course, it's going to be open for anyone to see, including Crash and Burn. Hi, Crash and Burn, if you are watching this video. Now, I'm not going to... There's a certain insight that I definitely did come to, and I'm looking back at the game a little bit, and I realized I did make some mistakes. After reviewing the game, I made at least one mistake. Definitely, I made a rules mistake, and we already. Just to let you know, we had a rules error, and in that rules error, we went through it, we discussed it, we discussed remedies to it, and we just decided, that Crash and Burn decided that, no, it's okay, it's fine, move on. I think the people watching us were more upset about it than he was. Now, he definitely said, if I would have known that, I might have done this. And he thought about it and went, no, this is continue on, though. As I pointed out to him, he could have some more energy back. But that's near the end of the – that's in turn four. So we'll talk about it when we get to that point. in going over the game. So, but in the interim, let me bring up. Okay. Now, before I show you my first screenshot I was going to show you is Impulse. Well, I might as well show it to you. Let's bring it up. This is Impulse 32 of turn one. Now, the one thing that was, I was kind of surprised from the get-go, which was that the win, I'm just gonna refer to, Crash and Burn, who was the player. I'm just going to genericize him to being the win because it's a heck of a lot easier to say the win. Wow, Vikings are beating the Steelers 23-0. Dang. And almost a halftime. That was a pretty good lead. But anyhow, now, the one thing that if you'll notice, the win is down here near the bottom corner. So for those of you who don't know what that means overall, what that means is that he did a corner dodge. When the first impulse that he could turn, he turned right and went right for the corner. Yeah, what he did is he came from the corner, he went along the bottom edge, came to the corner, turned up, and then turned out. Me, I just came directly. The funny thing is, I was also thinking about doing a corner dodge so that he would have to come to me. Now, overall, at this moment in time, reflecting back on what I did, which was I went right for the middle. I don't see that as a bad move in this case, just because of overall, it wasn't a bad move to expect. I expected him to turn back in more quickly, maybe, but he didn't. He went for a full corner dodge, and I come to realize why he did that. I'll come to that understanding later on. I'll keep you hanging on that. But so he did a corner dodge. If you notice, he didn't launch a single drone, which to me, that's also kind of strange. I expected me to be fighting against drones the whole time. And nope. I mean, he did a corner dodge. He didn't launch. Actually, I can see him waiting to launch the drones. Because if I did a corner dodge and he did a corner dodge, what would happen is that the total range between him and me would be such that the drones would lose tracking. Because if we both did a corner dodge, it'd be greater than 35 hexes, and therefore he'd lose tracking. So I can understand why he didn't do it, at least when he first did the turn. But still, when he's down here, I'm right near the center of the board. At that point, I was expecting him to launch some drones coming towards me, and then I have to dodge them or whatever, fire them or whatever, because at the very least he could find out how I was going to react to drones. And he didn't, which was, in my mind, weird. But this. Definitely, Crash and Burn is playing a long game. Okay. So, now, okay, let's close. So that's where we ended turn one. Basically, it was pretty much I did a 28-21 split. He basically did I did a 21-28 split. Because I decided I really didn't need the middle of the board. But I figured I needed the speed later on. So I did a 21-28 split. He just did flat 21. was like, okay, fine. So that's where we ended up. I was towards the bottom, near the middle of the map. Looks like it was like 22-22. He's over on 39-23. So that is a range 17. So, you know, he's not going to fire me. I'm not going to fire him. That's fine. Okay. So 15 impulses later, what happens is that I come around to the bottom and I forgot to mention that when he came out of that corner, when he ended the turn, I was facing direction C. He's facing direction F. So we're going to do a oblique. So I'm like, okay, fine. He might fire his hellbore at me, and which, you know, okay, he fires hellbore at me. No big deal. Because only it's a single hellbore, so it's not going to cause me nearly as much problems. But okay, so I come around the bottom. He keeps turning, so he turns from E to F, from F to E. I turn from C to B, whereas we're kind of circling each other. I end up at, he launches some drones, and what I do is, since I'm going speed 28 at this time, because I want to close in on fast, I know that I'm going to move every single impulse and got these speed 20 drones coming in. So I time it. And this is one thing that the Andrew can do quite well, because of it can invariably go up to speed 28 or 30. Some people say that you can do this with a lesser speed, but it gets tricky. I'm going to be honest with you. It gets very tricky because the timing of the impulses gets hard, because this is what I'm talking about. I line it up so that I'm at range 1 of the drone's center line. But the important part here is that the next impulse, I move. The drones don't. So, and then the impulse after that, I also move. The drones move, but it doesn't matter. So what that allows me to do is the result is what you see here, which is they were at 31-25. I was at 30-25. I was able to side slip to 31-26 while he stayed at 31-25, his flight of 5 drones. And so I go up to 32-25, and since there's two options here that the wind could have done. The wind could have headed. If he wanted to, he could have headed the drones to have it so that I was in his FA arc. That is an option here. But he didn't do that. In which case, when they moved, they'd be behind me. Or if I sideslip in, they'd be really behind me. I mean, they'd be really in a bad position. They're in bad position anyway. So he turned so that they're facing down in direction D. I'm facing up direction B, and they're directly aft to me. I went, great. Basically, I bypassed them. Didn't cost me a single point of energy, and I just kept on going. Now, at this point, I decide that, I'm just going to... He had just turned 2 impulses before, and he was going speed 29. And I was going speed 28 at the time. The thing is that, okay, I know he can't hit. Actually, in theory, he can. I doubt it, but he can. That's one of those desperation moves that you do when you have no other choice. But he didn't, He didn't do that, which at this early juncture in the game, I wouldn't do either. It's like, no, that's a desperation move when you had no other choice. And he still had a lot of game to go. So obviously he's not going to hit. So I decided to fire at range 5 off his shield number 6. Now, the surprise I got was he had 16 points of shield reinforcement. So, I did 30, 30, that's just weird. That's weird. Because 30 points of damage. That's weird. Why does it say that? It's saying that he has 16 boxes, shield boxes remaining. It should be 14. Because shield reinforcement was 16 minus. I'll have to double check on that one later. Something's weird on that. That should not be 16. It should be 14. But anyhow, he does 16 points of reinforcement. And it ends up with in this case, 16 shield. I got to check to see if it's 16 or 14. But basically, I hit a lot of reinforcements. So I was like, okay. So he's playing the reinforcement game. Fine. Honestly, I have no choice here. I have to go with that. Because he's going to go next impulse. So no matter what I do, I can't get on that that rear shield. Now, I could, in theory, could have gotten on the rear shield if I would have been a little more patient. Again, I think we're looking at now, I think I was being a little impatient. Because if I would have waited, he would have to go straight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I could have gone straight, and then I could have turned, and then at that point, I could have gotten to his rear shields. In which case, I wouldn't hit the reinforcement, and I would have gotten some internals. So that was a mistake on my part. That's my first mistake. Now that I review here. So, but the point is, also I was able to get around the drone without causing me use any energy whatsoever to fight against those. But I hit the big steel reinforcement, the big block. And to be honest, I given up the whole shield reinforcement guessing game because I'm not too worried about the reinforcement of my own shields when I play Galactics, just because I guess wrong so often. I'm just wasting my energy, So. And in this case, one I never even thought about him actually using all the power for that reinforcement, which I should have. But most people they reinforce the shield number one because that's the one they're trying to protect the most. But he didn't. He was set up for shield number six. So annoying, but I dealt. So at the end of the turn, basically when I went straight up. He turned and came straight up, and of course, there's the drone's four hexes behind me. He's eight hexes away from me. I'm off his shield number two. So at this point, he still has five drones sitting here, and I'm there. So I end the turn. I think it was speed 21. Yeah, I end the turn with speed 21. Because, I wanted to save some power, so I did a 28-21 split. No big surprise there. So, my issue here at this point is that I'm starting to run out of room here. Yes, I'm at hex 35-14. So, given that I'm at hex 35-14, and he's behind me, and I don't have my TR beams, and I'm on his other good, on his good shields. If I keep going up here, he's got me pinned. So I figured the only way to get around this is I do something crazy on the next turn. So impulse four. Of turn three, I hit directly towards him. Now here's another mistake that I made, a boo-boo that I made. And that is, okay, I did a het. I don't think that to me was a good idea. And, you know, I'm looking at this after I did a het and going, you know, if I'm going to try to avoid these drones, I'm in trouble because I'm going to have to go almost like range one of the win. Now, that's bad. So what I decided to do is try to tear down some of these drones. So I fired four phaser twos. One of you know that had an arc. So I fired four drones, killed three of them. This is my boo boo. What I did is I did a displacement, so that you know I could jump away from the drones. I'm looking at this now, and what I should have done is ran right into the drones. Or at the very least, lab the drones and then realizing, you know, possibly realizing what kind they are, even if they were, you know, as long as I can identify one of them as a type one, and there's a type one and a type four, I should be fine because I only got two drones left. So I could have hit my front panels and keep going, because he's not going to do that. He's going to do some damage, but he's not going to do any internals, period, no matter what. Because I can still run away without using my displacement device, because I want to reserve the use of the displacement device when I need to use it. I felt like this was one of those times. In all honesty, realized I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I should have let them hit me. Now, to be honest, part of my reasoning is that I'm used to trying to avoid damage. Well, there's a problem with that long term, and the thing is, Crash and Burn was thinking long term. And we'll come to see that, the fruition of what happens. Okay, so do that. On that impulse, I do a displacement. I actually succeed, and I jump six hexes away and have it so that he has no way of firing at me, because I figured he's going to fire his hellbore at me. And I, you know, earlier, because I, let me go back. Yeah, I'm still in the FA arc. I'm range four of the Hellbore, so I was like, oh, this is scary. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I just realized something. I'm being stupid. I apologize. I did not tell you what the Win aux box has in the option mounts. I apologize. And chat room, you should have scolded me earlier. That is okay. In the front two option mounts, it's got a Phaser G and the Hellbore. In the right side, it's got a Disruptor. On the left side, it's got a Drone Rack. So he's got five Drone Racks, one Disruptor, one Hellbore, and one Phaser G. Okay. Now, this is 32. So I run away and I run down to here. He goes up and turns around and goes chase me into to the bottom corner. So we end the turn. I'm all the way down in 1020, hex 1027. He's in the middle of the board around, actually, in 2015, which is range 17. I'm six hexes away from the drones. So I got plenty of time. So I figured, okay, what I need to do because of other issues, I decided to go slower. You know, because obviously I can't. The Andromeda is a fast ship, but it can't stay fast because of invariably it's going to have to use batteries. And it only has 15 batteries, so you can run out of batteries real fast if you're not careful. So, you know, you still have the two drones. Okay, now, So what happens is I come up, I actually blow, at the beginning of the impulse, in turn four, I actually turn around, I'm in the corner, I turn up as of column three. So on 326, I turn A. I go straight up. Well, the problem is at this point, the wind has got me, it's got me cornered. I don't have a displacement device, which was, as I said, dumb. That's why when it comes to those drones, I should have just ran into them. Because then I would have a displacement device for this kind of situation. Because sooner or later, this was going to happen to me. And what happened? Okay. He gets me at range two. You know, on my rear panels, range two. I'm at 0119. He's at 0320, range two. And what does he do? He does something which, as I said, crash and burn was looking long term. Which is, he's keeping an eye on my how much battery I'm using. He's basically, he's tracking my energy. And that becomes very obvious. Because of this. Because he tried to tractor me. Most people are very fearful that the Andro has so much power that you'll never be able to tractor him. Now, that was also before they reduced the number of batteries. Because if I had my full battery pack, if I had the full six batteries, he'd never have a chance. So he tries it. Now, this is where I goofed up in the rules. Because, to be honest, I didn't have this battery power that I was using for anti-tractor. I had to use my there's a function when it comes to the TRs, which is just so beautiful. It's awful and it's beautiful. And that is, tractor repulsor beams can be used as tractors. They also can be used for anti-tractor work. This is where I broke the rules. And we had a discussion after this point, which is, I'm supposed to announce, one, that I use my TR beam. Two, I have to use the full energy of the TR at the time. So I can't just use 1 point, you know, 2 points of anti-tractor, 3 points of anti-tractor, like a regular battery usage. I have to say, no, I've got 6 points of anti-tractor. And crash and burn, basically, after we discussed it, he thought about it. I might not have continued on. And because here's the thing, as I told him, hey, if you want to go back, fine, we can go back. We can have it so that you only used a little bit of energy for tractor. One, I'm sure a lot of this was allocated tractor too. So a lot of it would be wasted energy anyway. So it doesn't matter on that grounds. It's only when if he started to use battery, that's when it would matter. So, and I said, okay, if you didn't want to use all that energy, I'd be happy to. If you want to, fine. We have, so I only use the one TR beam. I get one TR beam back. And then you get your energy back. That's fine. If that's the way you want to do it, that's fine. If you want to go back to two impulses and replay those two impulses, I'll be fine with that too. I will not change the way I played that impulse. I have no other choice to play it the way I played it. The only choice the person is crash and burn. That means he could have, at that moment in time, he could have decided to, not use as much energy. Because I don't see any other, when it comes to his movement, what he did and all that, I do not see how any of that would have changed. Not one iota. would that have changed? Because one thing, if he says, well, if you had one, would if you know, because he tracked my batting pattern pretty good, so he would have known that, you know, I actually, even just logically, even if I had one TR beam, would I have headed back right into him and fired it at him? Hell no. I've already used the hit bonus. I'm not gonna do another hit to die this early in the game when I still have so much game left to play. So, you know, so that's why he decided, you know, just let it go. Let it go. Now, what happened after this? Okay. Yeah, I show it. Okay. So he tries to tractor me. He is unsuccessful. So, I mean, this one, I forget what this one is. Yes. Okay. This is what it is. Okay. One thing I had done is I had the midterm speed changed from 28 to 30 because of I was going to miss an impulse. And I couldn't miss that impulse. That impulse of movement. Because if I missed that impulse of movement, I would be dead. So, now, at this moment in time, what he does, was it here or here? I'm trying to find out. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it was back at impulse 24. Impulse 24, he does something which I can't dizzy div because I used it the previous turn. I used it in turn three, and we're on right now on turn four. It takes two turns to charge a displacement device. So that's why he knew he had me. That's why he could track me because I didn't have my displacement device. As I said, I made that mistake of using my displacement device on turn three to displace away from the drones instead of taking the drones at my front panels, which I should have done. I should have knocked down the three, tried to knock down four, knocked down the three and go, okay, fine, just run into them. That's what I should have done. Just like I should have tried going for the rear panel, rear shields. Because normally people don't reinforce rear shields. But anyhow, so now, this was interesting. He fires his Phaser G, his Phaser 1s, and his two Phaser 3s. No Disruptor, no Hellbore. Okay, I can understand the Disruptor because he probably used up the energy instead of allocating for the Disruptor. What he did was he allocated for Tractor. Instead, he put all that energy into Tractor. Okay, fine. Now, the one thing that, as I pointed out, when I was reflecting on this game, this is a perfect opportunity. I mean, I don't think it gets any better than this. Actually, it does get a tiny bit better if you get the range one. But reflecting on this while taking these screenshots and going over the game, I realized something. The win never charges his Hellbore. Never. Because if he was doing a rolling Hellbore, you know, doing the 3 points of energy, he would have fired it right here. This is the perfect opportunity to fire. Because of... da, 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 da. Is it here? Or here? Here it is. Because of this. This right here, my rear panels were full up to four boxes left that I could actually fill of energy. If you would have fired that Hellbore and hit, there's seven internals guaranteed. But he didn't. Which tells me he didn't charge it. He's never been charging it the whole entire game, because if he was charging for the whole entire game, he would have fired it. This impulse. A range two, he would have fired it. Which tells me he has not been charging it at all. So it's like, okay, that's a revelation. Now, here's the one thing I cannot rely on. I cannot rely on that will continue to be so. That he'll continue not to charge his Hellbore. I can't rely on that. Never can. So, you know, now this, I'll show you the reasoning for this, which is, okay, right here. Now, he side-slipped up, and I went, fine. I figured my best plan was to turn in. There's only one minor thing that I didn't think about when I turned in. And it's fine because of one, how it turned out. And it definitely was the right, after doing what I did, it was the right move. And that is, I turned in because I realized, okay, if I turn in, he sideslipped. The next impulse, he has to go straight ahead right where I am. And that means I can sideslip and get behind him. And he's already, he's already fired almost everything he's got. Now, this is where he made a mistake. I'll show you that in a moment. But, okay, he launches drones going directly up, and I go, okay, great. Because, now, the problem is, if I go straight, they come and go whack me in the rear. They whack me in the rear, I'm dead. So, that means my only choice here is to go, I can go sideslip away, in which case, he comes here and gets another shot of anything he's got left. And I think this is why I did something unusual, and that shocked him, and therefore he made a mistake. And that is, so I fired, I have the two phaser threes here. Boop, boop. So now he's down to three drones. So three drones, what do? I sideslip smack dab into those three drones. That's, and now all three were single space drones, which surprised the heck out of me. I expected at least one of them to be a type four, two space drone. Nope. Which in my mind, that was a mistake. Though he might have thought that I was going to sideslip away and then basically run away, giving him another shot at my rear panels. But I didn't. I slammed right into him. So, because, the type fours, you want to save those for the times when you know you can hit. And he didn't know he was going to hit. So, but if I was him, I would have at least done one type four. Maybe not both, but at least one type four, to at least keep me honest. Okay. So at the end of the side slipping on this on impulse 27, front panels are beautifully full, and I do mean beautifully full, because of it's 36 exactly. That means I get no leak points. Because if it was 37, I get a leak point. But only 36, no leak point. Now, so if you notice, my panels are very, very full. Very, very full. So I've obviously, he continues going up. I continue, going, I turn, sideslip, keep on sideslipping away. So I end up here on impulse 30. Now, on impulse 30, what I do, and this is, you'll see the resolution here, which is I switched my panels from reinforced to standard level. Why did I do that? Because of he basically had nothing to fire at me at this moment in time. I mean, he had absolutely nothing. He actually, later on, he fired his rear extended arc phaser 3 at my rear panels, and he got 1 point of energy. I think it was 1 point of energy. No, I think it only... No. Yeah. Yeah, it means that he missed. But anyhow. So he's got nothing to fire at me. Great. So I changed from reinforced to standard levels at because we're at range 6. He's got nothing facing me. He's got a disruptor, but he would have fired it if he had it. So I do that. So I now have 12 points of power sucked into that battery. So obviously my battery was a little low. And so basically, as I pointed out just a little bit ago, I think I pointed out, and if I haven't, I'm going to say it now, which is Crash and Burn was tracking my battery usage, energy usage very carefully and figuring out how much battery power I needed to use every single turn. So he knew that I was low on battery power, and that's why when I broke the tractors, it shocked him. He didn't think I had that much energy. Well, I didn't. It's called, I use my TR beams for anti-tractor work. And after I told him that, he said, "Oh, that figures. I didn't think you had that much energy." And I thought, and it's like, yeah. And then of course, then came the screams and howls of the gallery. Going, yeah, no, you're supposed to do that. But it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. I made a mistake, and then we had the whole discussion. So, I'm not gonna go through that. I'm not gonna repeat that discussion again that I just did a few minutes ago. But anyway, okay. So I get 12 points of energy into my panels. My panels are now at standard level. I got my rear and my front panels are both full when it comes to standard level. Great, fine. So that's fine. So at the end of this turn, what we end up being is here. I get to be turned away. He's here. And I made sure that, you know, that if he turns, he will be still quite a distance away. Now, at the moment, we're at range 9. So I'm still good because of... Before we, because at this point we had to stop because it was like 11 o'clock at night and I had to get to bed. But anyhow, in the turn stuff, which is I dissipated 6 points of energy from my front panels and 4 from the rear. Also, 3 in the battery. So I took 9 points of power out of my front panel. So it went from 36 points of energy. It ended with 20 points of energy in the front panels with 7 degradation. The rear panels, you know, I was able to suck out 6 points of energy. 2 go into the batteries, 4 went to dissipation. So I end up with 11 points of energy and 7 degradation in the rear panel. So I've got quite a bit of quote unquote damage to my PA panels, though, you know, definitely got the 7 degradation, which is damage. But my batteries are quite well. You know, given that I have put over the course of this turn 17 points of energy, the 12 and the 5, so it's a total of 17. My batteries are pretty darn good at this moment in time. Big surprise. And I'm overall my batteries are in good condition. So I can still run around like a freaking nut. Now, obviously, when it comes to my weapon situation, my weapon situation is such that I have no TR beams. Okay? I have no TR beams whatsoever. I'll have a displacement device at the end of this turn. Well, actually, no, at the end of the turn. You know, at the beginning of turn 5, I'll have a displacement device. which means nothing. What this means is that all the next turn, I'm just going to be running around like a freaking nut. Now, the question is how fast of a nut am I going to be doing? And is there anything, obviously, what's going to be my goal for next turn? I need to go examine my PA panels. Because this is what happens. This is what happens to every Andromedan player. I think I'm, at the moment, I'm probably the most prominent one because I play the ship the most often. I play the, I'm making sure that I'm using the right term because otherwise Gene will throw, I'll have an incoming frying pan. It's Empire. Though the Andromedans, they're a mystery overall. But okay, let's just call them an Empire and just stick with that. Don't have to worry about race versus Empire. At least in this telling. But anyway, in this Empire, I've played it the most. And one of the things that an Andromeda is always constantly thinking about is, how do I get this energy out of my panels? You're constantly thinking about this. You're spending most of your time, you're trying to figure out energy. That you're always constantly thinking about energy. In this case, I need to see, what can I possibly do to drain all that energy? There's a couple possibilities that end up that I might do, but the key here is, of course, is going to be distance. I got to get distance from the wind, so that if I do something, you know, like drop panels or do something that, you know, let's say if I completely drop a panel and he is in that arc, it makes no sense for him to fire. He might fire his phaser once. He might even fire a disruptor in a desperate hope. Question is, will he do it? Well, a disruptor, I can see him doing if he had it charged. Phasers, do you want to do that? Probably not. Because that means that's less energy that he has for next impulse. If he misses, that's wasted energy. If he hits, all the better. So, just to let you know, the plan is for this Saturday. That's okay. What's today? Today is December 9th. So it's going to be December 11th. So on December 11th, Saturday, December 11th, we're going to start at 7 p.m. So if anyone wants to watch the hopefully, the end of the game, the only reason I say hopefully is just because I'm hoping not to have to play another couple hours, in which case I might have to ask my family to help me out because my son's visiting for the weekend, and normally I take him back to his group home on Sunday, but if I have to play on Sunday, I'm gonna have to ask one of my family members, either my wife or my daughter, to drive him home. So hopefully we will not have to have that issue, and I can just kill him and he'll be dead. I have to think about what I'm going to do, you know. Because things have not, one thing I have to agree here is that things have not turned out the way I had expected them to. As I said, Crash and Burn has been playing a very long-term game. Because he didn't fire a single weapon at me until turn four. Yeah, turn four. Didn't fire a single one. If you're disallowing the drones, because in my mind, the drones, you can disallow them. But even then, he used them sparingly as all heck. So, He's looking for long-term game. I'm assuming he wants to do this all over again. He wants a repeat of the last four turns. Will it happen? No, because of two things. The main thing here is, one, I've seen this strategy. Two, I know what he's looking for. I know what he's doing. Three, I'll be prepared for the next close encounter, because I won't make the same mistake again. That is, if I have my displacement device I could have just said, take my tractor, please take it. Because if I would let him tractor me and I would have said, okay, I'm going to attempt to displace. Tractor me at range 2 in that situation. If I would attempt to displace and then I failed, then I could have used my TR beams to break the tractor. And then the impulse after that, I could have, if it was succeeded, then I could, displace it so that I can attack the rear shields, which would have been good. So next encounter, I'll have my displacement device, so I'll have an eject button. That's number one. Number two, now the thing is, I don't think I can repeat what I did again, which is allow his drones to hit me. I might have to do exactly what I did the first battle pass. I consider my first battle pass, where I slipped around him. So that's I'll probably have to do that with the drones. And of course, now there's a big difference, which is now I have some damage on me. He's got some damage on him, but he's damage also on shield number 6. With shield number 6, okay, he at the moment he has been able to keep that out of my arc. And he can probably continue still to do that, which means what I've got to do is I've got to not make the same mistake I made the first battle pass, which is if I can get it so that because here's what I wanted to do all along, which is it was playing well in turn two, which is using my maneuverability to maneuver around him so I can get the shot that I want. Now, as I mentioned, I screwed up, and I could have gotten the shop if I would have been just a little more patient. So I have to be a little more patient to get the shot that I want, that I know I can get without taking the damage. Now, the one thing that I'm going to have to keep an eye on is whether he's the tough part about him. Now, is for turns that I don't fire at him, that I don't hit any reinforcement, I have no clue where his energy went. No clue where his energy goes. So now if I would have tracked the energy for turn 2, I might have been able to guess that he wasn't charging his hellbores. I did not do that, so it's my mistake. But on turn 1, could I tell? No. On turn 3, could I tell? No. But the one thing I never saw in all of the game, this game so far, I've not seen him once discharge his hellbore. Because if he charges it and then he decides to stop charging, he has to announce that he's discharging it. He already did that once with his disruptor, where he charged his disruptor and he never fired it. So he had to announce a discharge. So it's like, okay, great. That was, to me, that's a kind of a small win in that case. So it might be he just decided that he wasn't going to chance it, why? Maybe my guess is he did not get the I don't know why he didn't fire, to be honest, because I'm pretty sure he had the disruptor in arc. in the proper range, you know, sometime, you know, maybe he didn't want to use it that late in the game. I mean, that late in the turn. Don't know. So I think I'll wrap it up here. You know, I'm hoping you guys enjoyed the review of my game. For those of you interested, as I said, I'm going to be, I'm just checking one thing. I will be playing this Saturday, December 11th at 7 p.m. So if you want to watch me win or lose, come and join us. Hopefully, you know, I will see you guys there. If not, that's fine too. Obviously, in either way, I will, maybe next podcast or maybe the podcast after that, but definitely I will give you guys a review of that game. Possibly, if it's ended, obviously, I will show the full, its full glory, energy allocation and movies and all that, the whole thing. So you'll see the whole thing, you know, a little more in real time instead of just screenshots of the game. So with that, I am Paul Franz. I bid you a good night.